Good morning and welcome to the concluding message of our series on the Lord's Prayer. Now, I heard last Sunday the preacher didn't show up. Unless you think he went on vacation, let me tell you where I was at. I was in ER. I had an 8-millimeter stone that decided to go from the kidney elsewhere. And it was interesting. So I had surgery on Wednesday and got that stone removed, and I am glad to be rid of that thing, I tell you. And God is good. Thank you for your prayers. And so I called my son John last Sunday morning. I called him and I said, you know, I've been up since 2, and you know, I thought I could fight it through, and I was getting dressed and prepared to come. And finally, it just dropped me. I couldn't go a step further. And I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to have to get into ER. And so I called John. I said, John, you're going to have to preach for me this morning. Hello? We got a bad connection here. Are you still there? And John said he was willing to do so. And I said, I've got some good notes. Then later he told me, he said, I don't want you bragging about your good notes either. Matthew chapter 6. For the last time during this series, as we talk about the word amen, one single word this morning, I want you to leave here in just a few moments with that understanding. At the conclusion of our message this morning, Pastor Armin's going to lead us in a great time of communion, celebrating the Lord. So we're going to aim our thoughts towards this word amen for the moment. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Jesus told his disciples, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The concluding word here of this prayer is the word we're going to be zeroing in on now for the next few moments, and that is the word amen. I'm reminded of a story of many years ago when an old country preacher went out and bought a horse. A horse trader told him that he had made a perfect selection, for this horse had been raised in a religious atmosphere. The horse trader told him, to make this horse go, you have to say, praise the Lord. To make him stop, you have to say, amen. He will not start if you say, giddy up, and he will not stop if you say, whoa. So the preacher prayed for the horse, paid for the horse. He mounted him and got on and was on his way. After he said, praise the Lord, he was off like a shot. After a couple miles, a coyote darted in front of them and spooked the horse. The horse took off towards the cliff with a 200-foot drop just off in the distance there, going full speed towards it. In such a panic, the preacher forgot his instructions, and he kept hollering, whoa, but the horse would not listen. The horse kept right on galloping towards the cliff. Finally, at the very last second, he kind of caught his memory back, and he shouted out, amen. And the horse immediately came to a screeching halt right at the edge of the cliff, sparing both of their lives. Still shaken, wiping the sweat off his brow, the grateful preacher then looked and said, oh, thank you, God. Praise the Lord. A child was asked in Sunday school one day by his teacher, define the word amen, what it means. The child replied, that means the preacher is finally done. You know, though humorous, the child's definition of it's finally done is in many ways the definition of amen that many of us may be working with. You see, to many, amen is simply the capstone of a finishing touch when concluding a prayer. It's the preacher's last words in a service, and then we're out of there. So to many, then, the word amen simply means then the end. But in reality, amen doesn't mean that at all. The word in its origination, which is a Hebrew word, which over time has been translated or transliterated rather from language to language, from the Hebrew to the Greek, from the Greek to the Latin, from the Latin to the English, to the various languages around the world, the Korean, the Russian, the you cannot find a language that amen is not in. And the unique thing about it is, because of it being a transliteration, it sounds the same in every language, spelled differently according to their phonetics, but nonetheless, it's, you know, sounds exactly the same. I've heard them say that there's only four common words in all languages, and the four of them, I think you know them all. Number one would be amen. The second one is alleluia. The third one is okay. And the fourth one, you may not guess, Coca-Cola. You can be anywhere in the world and ask for a Coca-Cola and they'll know what you're talking about. I've been in churches all over the world with various languages and have understood very little of what was being said in the service, but I clearly understood that word amen and understood to a certain degree what they were trying to portray. It was pronounced at times amen. I've heard it pronounced amen. I've heard it pronounced amen. Amen has been called the most recognizable word in all of human speech. Tracing its roots back to the original language here of the Hebrew, the word amen, let's see what it meant. First of all, it meant that which was firm. In order to say amen, you're literally saying what I hear and what I attest to. This is firm. It is unshakable. It is truth. It is undeniable. Matter of fact, one of the words that was used in the book of Kings for the pillars of the temple is this very same word, and the word is amen. And so literally they said, if you want to know what's holding up the temple, these pillars, it's called the amen. It is firm, it is set, it is unshakable. And then you'll discover that it also means to be faithful. It means reliable. The word that I've heard, the word that I've read from God's word, it is reliable, it is faithful, it's reliable. It is true, there's no falsehood in it. And it also means so be it or let it be done. So when you hear the term or when you say the term of amen, you're literally saying then, this is firm. We can count on it, base our lives upon it. We'll not be made a fool if we believe this. It is faithful. He that gave the word will complete the word. And it is true. There's no falsehood in it. And let it be done. So amen, then, is an affirmation of truth. It's not only an affirmation of truth, but it's an affirmation of truth for our individual life. And so when we say amen, we're saying this is not only truth for others, this is truth for me. Deuteronomy chapter 27 gives a very interesting reading of the law. And in Deuteronomy chapter 27, I want you to picture yourselves now. We're going to take you back into the Old Testament. Children of Israel have been wandering for 40 years. They're just now at the very eastern shores of the Jordan River. They're ready to go in and take the land that is flowing with milk and honey, the land of promise. And in this time and in this situation, Moses said, you've got to gather all the people together, and I want them to hear just before they go into the land some of the blessings and some of the curses that are going to come upon individuals, whether they obey the word of the Lord or whether they disobey the word of the Lord. And with that in mind, he said, here's what I want you to do. Gather them together, read the law, and once you've read the law, have them respond unitedly, amen, which means we agree, this is binding upon us, we believe this is truth, and this is the way we will live our lives. So let's practice that here this morning for a few moments. I'm going to read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, starting with verse 15. And then let's all the church respond when it says, let all the people reply. And the word is Amen. Okay, here we go. Cursed is anyone who carves or casts an idol and secretly sets it up. These idols, the work of craftsmen, are detestable to the Lord. And all the people will reply, Amen. Amen. Cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or mother. And all the people will reply, Amen. Cursed is anyone who steals property from a neighbor by moving a boundary marker. And all the people will reply, Amen. Cursed is anyone who leads a blind person astray on the road. And all the people will reply, Amen. Amen. Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, or widows. And all the people will reply, Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapters 27 then continues on and continues on with a rather long list of sexual perversions that God said will bring the curse of God upon their life. And each and every time they were again to respond time and time again, this is an amen. We agree and bring ourselves into alignment with the expectations and with the law of God. So when you go into the New Testament, it is interesting to notice that in the Gospels, it is a term that is used exclusively by Jesus. You will not find in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you'll find none of the 12. You won't find anyone other than Jesus using this term, and the term being of amen. Now, when you begin to look through the New Testament, you might be saying, well, I paged through it and I didn't see Jesus saying amen. Here's why. Because it is translated in the New Testament there in the Gospels as verily, verily, I say unto you. Matter of fact, those of you that are reading from the NIV is truly, truly. So Jesus many times started his discourses by the word amen, amen. This is something you can count on. You can build your life on it. It is unchangeable. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. More sure than the sun rising in the east and setting in the west are the words that I am going to give you. And so Jesus often started his discourses by saying amen, amen, so be it. And we'll define that even further here in a moment. So he said, verily, verily, anytime you find, you know, these couplations here, these couples of verilies or of trulies, meaning he's saying, I'm drawing attention to the fact. I really want you to notice here. He was literally saying in that moment, amen, amen, using the Hebrew word. And so the Hebrew word was one and the same. Every time Jesus in the New Testament talks about verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you. And then we find that word, amen, is the very basis of it all. And so Jesus then started his discourses by saying, this is faithful. This is going to be trustworthy. You can count on my words. I will not deceive you. Matter of fact, remember what he says? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Notice Jesus, all throughout the Bible, he is always affirming the fact that he is giving us the inside track on the things of the kingdom of God. And he reveals them in such a way. And as he's revealing them, there's some marvelous truths, things that are mind-blowing. And he starts out the discourse by saying, you can count on these things. This is an amen statement. It is faithful. It is trustworthy. It is firm. It is certain. So it is, and so be it. In the book of Revelation, you'll find that Jesus, he describes himself or declares himself to be the amen. That amen is more than an affirmation. It is more than a statement of faith. It is more than taking a hold of one of the promises of God. For the Bible tells us that the promises of God are yea and amen through Christ Jesus. And the way we claim a promise from God is when we claim it by saying what? Amen. Or so be it. That we affirm it. It is ours. It isn't just a statement that is made. It's not just theoretical or theological, but it's life-giving to me. I hold on to this. This is what I need for my life. And we'll find that Jesus then, he declares himself to be the Amen. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 is where you'll find it. It says, to the angel of the church of Laodicea. Now remember, the church of Laodicea was the lukewarm church. It was a church that was neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. He says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. And so, when we're saying Amen, we're saying we believe every word the Lord has spoken is viable, it is true, it is powerful, it is life-changing, and no matter what we have need of in life, there's a promise in God's word that will declare God's concern, care, and all we have to do is say, Amen, and take it as our own. And that is exactly what that does. All throughout the Old Testament, in the life of Jesus, and throughout the New Testament time as well. So the custom then of saying Amen in a public service, you know, some of us are more accustomed to that than others. You may have come from one of the Frozen Chosen. And we grew up in a Lutheran church out in South Dakota. And from there, we went to the Presbyterian church. And from there, to the Assembly of God church. But I am so grateful that as I look back at my history, that God was leading us and guiding us and directing us into what we call the full gospel. And not only the full gospel, but a full revelation of what God has in store for his people here on this earth during this time. And so this whole concept of Amen for us was rather strange coming into an Assembly of God church. But some of you, you've been a part of other churches, charismatic churches and the like, that you'll often hear people shout out, Amen. So where did this start? Is this some weirdism started in the most recent of times? Or is this something that has gone all the way back? And what you'll discover, the custom of saying Amen in a public service came from the practice of the Jews in the synagogue. Remember, this was a time when they would gather together, hear the word of the Lord. They would not have scriptures of their own. There were only a few scrolls available. They were kept in the synagogues. They were kept at the temple. And as a result of that, it was, you know, something they would hear. They would hear the word of the Lord. And their response to hearing the word of the Lord was to say, Amen. And so when the scriptures were publicly read in the synagogue, the people would respond by saying, we affirm that. We agree. We place our lives upon this. We take hold of that promise from God. And when prayers were offered publicly in the synagogue, again, the people responded by saying, Amen. They may have been praying for their community. They may have been praying for the temple. They may have been praying for someone that needed healing in their particular synagogue. But at the end of that prayer, the body together would say, we together petition God. We together unite together and let this be done. And so let it be done, or so be it be done. And they would say, Amen. And that's why even at the end of some of our prayers here, you'll hear, you know, whichever one of us is praying, we'll say, and all the church said, and everyone says Amen. And what are we doing? We're saying what was said then publicly, we are now unitedly, we're holding this in our own hearts individually, and what was a public thing is now a personal thing. And so Amen made the substance of that time of what was being said publicly by another, and made that their very own. It's no longer the words of the preacher. This is mine. This is no longer just merely, and I say that very carefully, just merely, but this being the word of the Lord, now it becomes an Amen word to me. And at that moment, you know, when I read some of the great promises in God's word, I mean, we want to grab a hold of them, and so doing, we're literally saying Amen. We're saying, I concur. I bear witness this is true. So it is, or so be it. Let's try it for just a moment here in the room and let's see how it goes. If I were to say to you this morning, God is good. Amen. He is all powerful. Amen. He is all knowing. God is love. Amen. God is mercy. Amen. God is omniscient. Amen. He is omnipresent. Amen. Jesus is Savior. Amen. He's healer. He's a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's our soon coming King. Amen. The Bible is true from cover to cover. Amen. God can do all things but fail. And all the church said, Amen. You know, it's interesting as you read through the epistles. The Apostle Paul, he closes out every one of his epistles, all 13 of them, maybe 14 if you count Hebrews, which we're not sure of the authorship, whether it's Paul or Barnabas or some other. But in each and every one of them, and it's kind of an interesting thing, it'll only take you probably less than 5 minutes to do it this afternoon, but just go and turn, begin with Romans, go to Corinthians and so on, go through those 13 books, 14 if you want to take on Hebrews as well. And what you'll discover is at the end of every single one of Paul's books, he closes it out with guess what word? Amen. And generally what you'll discover is he blesses the readers and he shows them the mercy and the greatness of God. And he declares to them this great family of God that they're a part of and the church of Jesus Christ is made up of men and women in places all across Asia Minor, of course, at that time. And of course, we know all around the world today. But it's followed up with that word, amen, so be it. Now, with a little fresh understanding of the word amen, let's just go back and let's look at the Lord's Prayer one last time. Our Father, amen. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Don't let the amen die out. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. Amen. It has been said, when truth finds an abiding place in the heart of the believer, the soul cries out, amen. I pray that your life going forward will be guided and directed and blessed and transformed by the truths that we have discovered over these past weeks as we have taken phrase by phrase the Lord's Prayer. I am so grateful that we have a Father. And I'm so glad He's in heaven. And that He's preparing a place for us. And Jesus said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I will come again, receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Communion's all about remembering the past. It's about looking inward for the moment, reassessing, reevaluating, taking care of business if we need to with our soul. And it's also looking forward because Jesus is coming again. That's a good place for an amen. I'll back it up, give you one more run at it, okay? Jesus is coming again.